ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Monday, October 21st, 2019. If you are listening in Canada, please, after the show, go vote, Dwayne.
Go vote, indeed. I won't even tell you who to vote for, I promise. This is a politics-free-ish zone.
Exactly. It's a safe zone. It's a safe place. And we just care if you go vote. It doesn't matter who. And on that note, let's talk soccer. MLS Cup playoff, the first weekend this weekend, Dwayne. Six games. A lot of fun. And I have to say, we're going to talk, obviously, oh, what do you think about the one-game format? A lot of people are for. A lot of people are against. Yeah, it's like anything in life. You know, you have people on both sides. But what did you think of the first weekend of the new format of MLS Cup playoffs?
I think it's really going to be driven home on Wednesday. It's like almost like the March Madness, the NCAA tournament, where it's so fast once it gets going. And that aspect I like to it. In terms of the format itself and what kind of drama it provides, I mean, from a purely entertainment standpoint, I think that it clearly was step up from the two legs, because the two legs often are very cagey in the first. Like, this is no, I'm not going over new ground here. Everyone understands that they're a little bit cagey. And, you know, you get a lot of nil-nils, and you got a lot of teams that are just holding on to win at home, and you can't have that. You cannot have that in this leg. I mean, you know, we'll talk individually in a minute, but just even think of the madness at the end of the TFC game, the game that obviously that I watched the closest. That doesn't happen in a two leg. DC ties that game up, and everyone's like, oh, God, okay, I guess we got to get a road goal, right? That's kind of what it comes down to. You're not having another four goals in that. You're probably not even having DC push forward at the end because they're probably happy with the 1-0 loss, right? It adds that element to it. But as I said, the bang, bang, bang nature of it, which is something I've been an advocate for a while. I said that before, you know, this year, that if they really wanted to, you know, condense the playoffs, I'd even go even shorter, like make it 2 weeks. Yeah. Like just go bang, bang, like Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, week off, final. That's how I do it. But just keeps the interest.
We're almost as close to that as possible by the CBA, right? Because the CBA also, you need a certain amount of days off between games and travels and all that. So we're October 21st today. We know the finals on November 10th. So it's not far away. And you mentioned like Wednesday, it's continuing. It reminds me, okay, it's not as abrupt and quick as baseball playoffs that we're in right now. World Series is going to start later this week. That goes boom, boom, boom every day. Boom, boom. Is it over? Three games? Boom, it's all done. But I did have the feeling of the importance of the game for the players off the get-go. The early attacks, we've seen early goals, we've seen team battle hard, comebacks, just the Dallas-Seattle game. You see, example, Seattle take the two-goal lead and playing very well in the first 30 minutes. And then, well, complacency, I guess, sets in a bit. And then Dallas works hard, gets back, takes the lead. Seattle takes the lead again. They come back again, goes to overtime. Seattle scores. The amount of drama in every game because of the one-game aspect, where you see team pushing to get the late equalizer, to come back in a game that may be in a home-and-away series, they don't go as hard. Well, we saw that last night, even all the way to Minnesota getting the goal late, making it a game last night, but then still, LA is LA. But I really thought, at least game-wise, right? Work rate, game-wise, the one game, the sample is very small still, Dwayne, but I thought it was a bit more compelling. It's not like a home and away, oh, the famous, oh, you have to explain to your non-soccer fans, well, it's not two goals. The way goals is important, but it's not worth two. It's just the first tiebreaker. How many times did you explain that in your life? Well, this is, I would say, easy to grasp, easy to comprehend. Someone just scrolling on their channels, falling on TSN, ESPN over the last couple of days, and watching a game, be like, okay, this playoff game, the losers go home. It's easily comprehensible.
Yeah, away goals don't count double.
I know, but how many times did you hear that in your life? How many
a
times
lot.
Did
I mean,
you hear
I
my
can
uncle?
remember watching games where the commentators
Exactly. Like, yeah, it's like they're worth double. No, it's not like they're worth double. It's just a first tiebreaker. How hard is it? But in this scenario, it doesn't matter.
They're worth slightly. Yeah, exactly. No, you just play out, and there's no, as you say, no away goal rule there. And really, what you did see in a lot of games, you mentioned the Dallas Seattle game. Unfortunate for a young Dallas team, they put it all out there. They're on the front foot. In the past, as I said, tactically speaking, the away teams would survive first legs. Well, I shouldn't say that. The team that was on the road would always just try and reduce the scoring because they knew they were coming home for the second leg. So you rarely would get a team sort of blasting out and trying to score a lot of goals. You certainly didn't get 4-3 games like we saw yesterday, or sorry, on the weekend, pardon me. And it was, yeah, as I said, from an entertainment standpoint, it absolutely scored on all the fronts that it was trying to hit. Whether it's the best for the competition, I mean, look, 5 of 6 games went chalk. And the whole one of the ideas beyond the entertainment, I think that's probably the primary reason it's entertainment, but the other reason that has been speculated is that they wanted to give more of an advantage to the home teams, and it's hard
Which
to
they
argue
did.
that they didn't.
Yeah, 5 out of 6. Home team won. The only one, it's kind of fitting, too. The contrarians of the LA Galaxy's Zlatan winning on the road without even scoring a goal. Who would have predicted that the Galaxy would win on the road without Zlatan playing his best game? And it wasn't about Zlatan, and I kind of was happy that it was about the LA Galaxy. And we'll get to the review of the games. We'll go game by game and talk about them. But I thought it was a worthy first weekend in Major League Soccer. The teams that we thought were worthy of continuing their season have so far. And I have to say, it's looking like Thursday night, it's going to be an amazing, amazing night of soccer.
Yeah, you get this with the midweek games here. This is really, I think, the other test to this format in terms of. Like, I'm not someone who cares about whether or not the upper seeds win at a playoff series. It's not all what playoff is about. If you just wanted to, so-called have the best, you just have it as a single table, as many people argue. A playoff is a slightly different challenge, and if LA FC and New York City FC can't get it done in their respective conferences, then onus is on them, right? But it is going to be a bit of a test. I think the next one is whether or not the extra 3 days off that these teams had. 3 days in New York's case, 4 days in New York LA's case, are going to make a difference in terms of their ability to compete on that level next week. And I think the real test will come if the 2-1 seeds do advance to the game next week at the Eastern the Western Conference final, then that little tiny bit of extra rest, I think, does benefit them at that point because they have one less game under their legs in very intense situations because everyone who watches an MLS playoff games knows there's a lot of kicking and clawing that goes on out there. So that.
There's a lot, and that's kind of part of it too, right? Kind of brings we talk about playoff sports and different shows we do over the years, Wayne. We've talked about the differences of playoff basketball last year, watching the Raptors win it all versus regular basketball. Yeah, there's a big difference. Guess what? Major League Soccer is the same too. No tomorrow sports. There's nothing like it.
No, precisely. And as I said, 3 and 8 days for the teams that play in that first round, I think it's really going to make a significant. Now, if two teams that play the 3 and 8, then obviously it's an equal task. So the onus again is on those number one seeds to play on next weekend. It's so quick though, right? So then you get the week off to rest and have everything evened out. It seems surreal. Like, I mean, you're just coming off of the high of getting the playoff win. In all 5, 6 cases, there's a sort of an emotional high. You don't even have time to celebrate it. You have to, in most, Toronto's case, for instance, they're probably on a plane today, and they have to figure that out, and they have to adjust to a new stadium that they've never played in before. And there's like a lot of challenges to it, but I'm okay with that because ultimately New York City FC earned the advantage of having the extra weekend off. Well, they didn't choose to have the advantage of playing at a stadium that Toronto's never played at before, but.
And they didn't choose to have a stadium that they only played once before, too. So the home field advantage is a little bit nullified for the NYCFC Toronto game, and we'll get there. But how about we take a little trip down south to start the review, Dwayne? Let's go to Atlanta. Atlanta, New England, we all thought that maybe a Bruce Arena defensively solid team could give Atlanta... Nope, Atlanta scored. Atlanta wins 1-0.
Yeah, of all the... It was probably the worst of the six games, really. But New England did what they could in that game, honestly. It wasn't... They were overmatched. It was the biggest mismatch of the first round in my mind. The other, well, obviously the scores dictate, and the score here is close as well. But I think the overall play, and there was some moments in the first half. Bregozan made one great save, on a shot from just outside the box there in the first half that could have changed things a lot. But, you know, it was the start of a trend that the home advantage was just enough to get teams through that. It's going to be another interesting sort of dilemma. We saw a big crowd in Atlanta. Can they turn it around and fill that place again in short order, right? Yeah. Like that's, you know, the marketing people have their work cut out for them in the next couple of days in the ticket sellers. So
you're like, okay.
That's anywhere. That's not a dictation to any more market. That's just hard.
Yeah, Atlanta Falcons newsletter email. Okay, logging in, sending Atlanta United ticket discount code. Enter. You need to work hard for. Well, you remember a few years ago, there was the last game of the season or the second to last game of the season was Seattle-Portland. And Portland filled their stadium with 66,000 fans. I was like, oh, wow, this is so impressive. First playoff game a couple of days later, 30,000 fans. I'm like, what happened? Well, exactly what happened is it's hard. The turnaround is not easy for ticket sellers in 4 to 5 days trying to fill a big stadium, which we've seen also in the playoffs over the years in Montreal, in Toronto. When it comes at you quickly, it's hard to get the tickets moving.
Yeah. This we've actually seen this very scenario before, where you have less than a week to sell a playoff game. Now the only change is in the past it was the 3-6-4-5 games that they would have to sell. The season would end on the Sunday, and the playoffs would be Wednesday, Thursdays, which was always so cruel. We're in the playoffs, so we're out of the playoffs.
I missed the game. We're out already.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we. You have good memories of that with the TFC, the Montreal TFC series that Montreal won. It wasn't a series. It was a game. 3-0 wasn't much. TFC, all that hype, and you get excited, and then, you know, it's just done. In fact, that game was done like 20 minutes in, if memory serves. So,
like Montreal-Houston the 2 years before that. So like 5 years ago, when Montreal-Houston, it finishes, what, for 3-0, two red cards for Montreal. Yes. Like, yep, okay.
We're out of that game, yeah.
You remember, you know that meme or that gif of... Of Bart Simpson's grandpa coming into the burlesque door, coming out. Yeah, it's exactly what the playoff is when you come in for a game and leave right away.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, in this case, at least the teams that are trying to sell a stadium out do have the advantage of they could, you know, put it up in the board as people are celebrating, you know, tickets on sale now.
Before you leave the stadium, grab your tickets.
Yeah,
that's Atlanta what you got to do, basically. That's actually not a bad idea. You have to literally open your box office on the way out for people to just buy the tickets right now.
Yeah, well, if you're Atlanta or Seattle, I mean, you knew you were hosting the next game as soon as you won that. And by virtue of the fact that they were that they won that game, then a lot of other pieces fell in place. And, you know, we're at that point, like, only 8 teams left in this, that it's pretty clear who's going to be hosting most of these games. In fact, you can all put your parkas back in the back in the closet, folks. The MLS Cup final will not be in Toronto this year. That was determined. There cannot be another playoff game in Toronto now based on the results of this week. And in fact, obviously Minnesota's out too. So the other northern fear that you might have had if you're an anti-winter person, well, November 10th is not that cold here, but nonetheless, you can put that aside now.
Yeah, exactly. The only other thing I wanted to mention off the Atlanta United New England Revolution game is Michael Parkhurst got injured and seems to be a very severe injury. We'll hopefully get some details soon, but we know he announced his retirement at the end of the season. Hopefully, it doesn't end that way for him.
Yeah, it looked like a desiccated shoulder. I suspect that it probably did end that way, which is unfortunate for someone who had a very solid MLS career, long MLS career. Got a lot of pundits praising him over the past little week. He was kind of an underrated player throughout his career, won his MLS Cup last year. And, you know, beyond that, from a purely pragmatic level, it does really impact Atlanta's ability to go further in this. They have a lot of injury problems, particularly at the back right now, and it's going to be problematic there. But, you know, they got the job done. If you remember last year's playoff run, from what was a high-flying team in the first half of the season, well, in the regular season last year, changed the format and ground out wins in the playoffs. And, well, this is a team that also won the U.S. Open Cup this year. So they've proven that they know how to play these one-off knockout games. They, yeah. They've done them several times this year and last. So regardless of the injuries, you gotta take that, you know, to be the man, you gotta beat the man type thing.
If people are wondering why, when Dwayne says if you gotta beat the man, you gotta beat the man, we say woo. Come on, kids, you gotta do your research. We're not gonna tell you why. Seattle Sounders 4, FC Dallas 3. A fascinating game, entertainment factor to the maximum. Seattle 4 goals, taking the lead, giving the lead back, literally letting Dallas come back into this game by not putting it away. But Seattle getting the last laugh at the end of the 90. Actually, it was extra time. I don't remember so many soccer, but Seattle 4, FC Dallas 3. Seattle moving on from round one.
I mean, if you're half full, half empty this game, right? If you're, well, obviously Seattle, I think if you're Dallas, you're not happy because you were eliminated. And no one's ever happy at that point, but you have to have a certain level of, reflection upon a week or so after this to say, well, we took Seattle, a team that potentially could go down the MLS Cup final, maybe win the damn thing again. It's a pretty solid team, to the brink in a playoff game in their own barn and managed to meet all of our goals for this season again. That is hard to convince a professional athlete that there is any sort of level of success when they've just been eliminated from the playoffs and their season is over. But at the same time, it is hard to talk about this game and not give praise upon a very valiant effort by FC Dallas. Now, that said, if you want to look at it from the other side, you don't know, half full, half empty. Did Seattle score 4 goals or did they allow 3? Or yes is the answer to that, right? So we'll see what that means.
And Dallas on set pieces, I have to say, it was impressive. It was close, almost like enough to get the victory. Set pieces, they're important in Major League Soccer, especially in one-offs, and especially if you're an underdog and you get an advantage and maybe an opportunity on set pieces, you get the goal. You never know what can happen. And it was close for FC Dallas, but the cigar was lit by Seattle. Toronto 5, DC United 1. This was closer than the results would indicate. Who would have thought that a 5-1 game actually went to extra time? No one. Yeah, when extra time started, DC forgot to come out of the tunnel, and Toronto had fun. I'm exaggerating here, but Richie Larea, Osorio scored. What a week for the Canadian kids of Toronto FC.
Certainly, yeah. Look, strange game. As you say, it's the result is 5-1. If someone's just looking quick on their phone, they're like, oh, well, that was a blood.
They see a red card for DC and 5 goals for Toronto. Like, okay, DC got an early red card and Toronto just dominated. No.
Yeah, no. Look, I mean, that's if you're a Toronto fan, you cannot lose oversight that. And this was an issue that TFC thought that it had got rid of. And, you know, I ran the numbers earlier this year, and there have not been any abnormal amount of late goals over the course of TFC's careers. But there has been a lot of really bad ones in the year, and this one could have been the worst of all. They were seconds away from winning that 1-0 in regular time, and boom, boom again. And down man and all that sort of stuff. So it's like, yeah, the euphoria of scoring 4 goals and in the first 15 minutes of the extra time sort of patches over the fact that they allowed a game a minute and a half before. And the only thing I can think of is that DC put so much effort into tying that game that once it was done, there was just like a moment of relaxation. And I guess you've got to, we talked about half full, half empty a minute ago when we were talking about Seattle. You kind of have to say it again with Toronto here because the half empty is obvious. They allowed the goal. But the half full is that they mentally went okay in 2 minutes that they had to catch their breath and came out and got the job done. And that's, I guess, again, you got a compliment for that. And as you say, it was a very good 15 minutes for the Canadian quotient there on 3 of the goals.
Yeah. And I have to say, the week as a whole, with the win against the United States and Toronto, Larea, Osorio playing the way they did on Tuesday and performing the way they did as well on Saturday, quite impressive. Yes, the late equalizer by DC United did create a bit of a tense moment in the stadium, but Toronto reacted well in overtime, scoring 4 goals, getting the victory 5-1, and getting a date at City Field versus NYCFC on Wednesday night. The last game Saturday was Real Salt Lake versus the Portland Timbers. Real Salt Lake 2, Portland 1. We did see a bit of what we thought we would see, Dwayne. Velarde was not as important for this match, for this team, as we thought it would be. And that might have spelled the end for Portland. When your best players over the last 5 years starts a playoff game on the bench because of, well, of course, contract negotiations, tensions between front office and Diego Valeri, and probably tensions between Savarese and Diego Valeri led to Valeri being on the bench, coming in late in the game, needing one goal to equalize. You need more time for your best player in history to be influential. Real Salt Lake getting the win at home.
Yeah, I can't help but feeling that we're underestimating RSL here, and we're talking again about Portland. As I said last week when we were previewing this game, there's just something about the Timbers that I don't fully trust, and I appreciate that they've proven me wrong a couple times in the past 5 years, but they also prove me right as much as they prove me wrong. They are like the ultimate MLS team in a way, and they're up, then they're down, then they're up, then they're down. But RSL has just been consistently decent all year. Their home advantage is significant, and they took advantage of it on the day, and they get to play another day. Now, I think that when you look at the teams objectively that are remaining in the West, it is hard to see them going much further, but this format is weird, and we don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know whether it's an advantage to play these games in the weekend or whether it's an advantage to get more rest. We just simply won't know until we see the midweek games play out, and we don't have much time to breathe before that happens. So I guess we'll have our answer soon.
Exactly. And if you're wondering if we're going to talk about the USL Championship playoffs, if we're going to talk about Lansing United folding, ceasing operation, USL League One, the Canadian Premier League final on Saturday and next Saturday, we're going to talk about all these things in the next few days. But yes, MLS Cup playoffs, it comes at you fast. It comes at you quick, just like real life. And we'll do our best to fit everything in our daily show over the next few days. Heck, what happened in Mexico this weekend? I want to talk about it, but I don't even have time today. I want to get Tom on the show again to talk about Veracruz, to talk about what happened last night as well, the violence in another Mexican game. But let's continue and move to the two games on Sunday, Dwayne. Philadelphia, New York Red Bulls. That's fascinating. There's a new account on Twitter that's not new, but it's not that old. It's called the MLS Images That Preceded Unfortunate Events. There's a nice image of the Red Bull celebrating the 3-1 goal from that game. Yeah, that preceded an unfortunate turn of event. Philadelphia, 3 unanswered goals, winning their first ever playoff game in Major League Soccer.
And, you know, deservedly so, based on the case of the entire season for both teams, really. NYRB has not been, has been a shell of itself this year. And the Adams moving away, not being able to adequately replace that. We all just bought into their system, and maybe their system can't patch all the gaps up. Philadelphia, meanwhile, has just been consistent all year. And we've talked about this. I think we in the show have talked about them plenty, but they have in large part been somewhat ignored. They've been in show me, don't tell me territory. And, you know, there's flaws to allowing 3 goals, certainly. But there's also a lot of to praise about overcoming that and managing to get to 4. And they move forward, and they have a second home game now to try and continue on their pace. And at this point in time, I mean, doesn't matter how you do it, they got it done. And now you can sort of focus on this team just as they are right now, which is consistently over the course of the year been the second best team in the East, right? So there you go. Are they second? Sorry, they finished third, right? Yeah. So
I think they finished third behind Atlanta, yes, because of the late season surge.
Yeah, so I was talking myself around in circles there. Yeah, so it's going to be a tough matchup for them for sure, but then we talked about the injury problems with Atlanta as well. I mean, all the games are going to, we'll highlight them on Wednesday. We'll probably preview them, but yeah, it's because of the, you know, they're all good teams left. They want chalk, so they're all, other than LA, which we'll talk about next, which are fifth, not fourth, you don't have any real true underdogs in there anymore. And I think that's, you know, if you're a purist about, you know, only the best team should win, then you should be happy with this.
I've seen the take of, it's not fair, not both teams get a chance to host a playoff game at home. Maybe. But at least it's fair to the regular season and the result of the regular season truly meaning something And we're seeing it. Of course, Minnesota is the only team, but that matchup of this seed number four hosting seed number five, it was always going to be the trickiest of matchup. Forget the Toronto extra time for a second. Let's just look at that Minnesota LA Galaxy results. 4 minutes of doom, a spelled disaster for Minnesota, which did show signs of threat. Their first goal, of course, late to cut down the deficit in half. But also, the way it happened, Darwin Quintero was a lot more dangerous when he came on late in the game than we have seen over the last few weeks. Maybe it would have always come from the feet of Darwin Quintero. It wasn't the case. We'd be surprised if we see Quintero back next year. I think Greg Gouche and others showed that maybe they are the key pieces of this Minnesota attack. We've talked about this a few years ago. And we've talked about this for Montreal a few, like multiple years ago, and Toronto about 4 or 3 years ago. To learn how to win in the MLS Cup playoffs outside of Atlanta. Actually, no. Atlanta included. LAFC included, too. Before you know how to learn to win, you got to learn how to lose in MLS Cup playoffs. And I guess this was Minnesota's turn to lose and to learn how to lose.
Yeah, certainly Atlanta lost to Columbus the year before they won MLS Cup final. It was badly. They lost too. They did not really compete in that game at all. If you remember back to it, it's hard to remember a single knockout game from 2 years ago. I appreciate it. But,
well, you're right. Yeah.
Look, to me, when I watch this game, LA is obviously a intriguing, if flawed, team. But when I look at Minnesota in that game, I think that it's the completion of this evolution of them. We talked about the hard and the soft launch forever, for 2 years. We talked about it basically. And certainly they come into their stadium and they had a proper soft or hard launch, I should say. And they've got themselves into a playoff home date. And that's nothing to sniff at. But I think for them to move to the next stage of their evolution, they do need to find some top-end talent to supplement around it. I mean, it's great to have the Defender of the Year. But as I've said many, many times before, what wins in this league goes against the conventional cliches. It's the ability to score and have dangerous players, and especially in MLS, where defending can only help you so much when you are talking about you're outmatched, really. The top defenders are worse than the top attackers in MLS. That's just the reality of the league. So if you build around a single defensive piece, that's key. But you have to have the other pieces around it. Like Drew Moore, no one talks about Drew Moore as being the key to MLS's or TFC's MLS Cup, right? I mean, you know, the Italian had something to do with it. Drew Moore was important, but he was like the last piece they put in. So Minnesota now has to go out and find some offensive threats moving forward that will really be game changers. And this is why I hesitate to go all in on Philly too as well. I think that's where they're both kind of similar. Philly just had maybe an easier touch than Minnesota had in that game, and that's why the one upset was this.
But also, I think the presence of a Marco Fabian, which is not equaled for Minnesota, that top offensively heavy productive player for Philly, you don't have an equivalent for Minnesota. But I totally understand what you mean, and I agree. If you want to put this in architectural terms, Minnesota's missing their offensive keystone. The key piece, that cornerstone, what you're going to use to build and to lock everything else of your supporting arch into place, that keystone will be important for Minnesota moving forward. And that's why I believe Darwin Quintero will not be back with Minnesota next week. Well, next week. Maybe next week for sure. But next year at least. And we'll see what direction Minnesota takes. Speaking of direction, it came out earlier this morning. A lot more movement in FC Cincinnati's front office. There was a lot of same job being duplicated now, and especially with the Niche Camp's GM role, so the technical director is no more, he's leaving. Anyways, there's a lot more going on the news, and we'll try to get to the rest of the news in the next few days. But Dwayne, on Wednesday, the playoff continues, and we have four matches, two on Wednesday, two on Thursday. NYCFC, Toronto FC at City Field, Seattle Sounders, Real Salt Lake. When you think about Wednesday, what are you looking forward to?
Well, obviously TFC. I watch them more than anyone else. So that will be a big part of my Wednesday. But it's going to be an interesting day. The next round, I'm just as I'm sitting here thinking, it's like I think that it's still generally going to go chalk. But I do think that just like the last round, there will be probably one of the three games, or one of the four games, pardon me, will probably go again. So I'm in my mind trying to figure out what's more likely. You know, you look at these matchups, and I don't know whether it's my bias talking, but to me, Toronto's the best chance based on their history, based on the history of the competition between these two teams, and based on the high-end talent that they have. What did we just say a second ago? High-end offensive talent matters. Now, Josie is the key here. They left Josie out of that game. Does that mean he's done, or does that mean that they just thought they had control of it and then were able to sort of finish it in the end and find the goals? If Josie's not there, though, I think that one's done. The injuries are such a major part in this right now. It's unfortunate, but it's the reality of sport. We talked about Atlanta, too. That might be your best bet for an upset because Philly's a decent team and Atlanta's really hurt right now. So this is what I'm thinking of when I lead into these games, and they're all interesting because all of these teams at this point, Kevin, they're all three wins away from MLS Cup.
That's true.
And that's, yeah.
And also, LAFC has never beaten LA Galaxy, so there's also that. So there's potential for upsets. I guess the only one that we're not seeing as an upset, again, we might not be giving the credit to RSL that RSLs deserve, is Seattle RSL, which we just see Seattle moving on. But who knows? Real Salt Lake, but it is on the
Dallas
road.
Dallas did score three goals against them, right?
Exactly. So, but it is on the road. RSL is a different team when it travels. And the weather was so bad in that RSL game that it took a lot out of RSL. And RSL is not a young team. We'll see how Kyle Beckerman and company fare on Wednesday, traveling to the Pacific Northwest to face the Sounders. Now on Thursday, Atlanta, Philly. It'll be an interesting one. LAFC, LA Galaxy. The key matchup, the name on the marquee, is LAFC and LA Galaxy at Bank of California Stadium. Already some tickets going for as little as $300 for the cheap seats.
Is that all?
No, for the cheap seats, it's not too bad.
Sometimes the cheap seats go for more money than the expensive seats in MLS stadiums because people want to be part of the party. But yeah, that's you know, that shows you the interest in there. And certainly I was very impressed when I watched. I didn't watch LFC as much as I would have liked this year. Part of that is because, you know, I have to get up for 6 a.m. to go to work. So I couldn't stay up past 10 a lot when they were playing midweek and stuff like that. But nonetheless, when I did watch them play, I was always very impressed with the atmosphere they put forward there. And, it, you know, just underlines the point that we've made many times before that, you know, ironically, in Major League Soccer, it's an advantage to be an expansion team, to being an established team, because you don't have to deal with the burden of the past. And as much as LAFC, some people jokingly call them zombie Chivas, there's some truth to that even, although they're not directly related. Exactly. It just shows you how much branding and launching in those two-year break mattered. So it is an intimidating atmosphere there. Zlatan likes to play in those atmospheres, though. He likes to be the spoiler. But he's also, what is he, 38 now or 37? I forget.
Yeah. Well, somewhere in that ballpark.
He's in his late 30s. So, you know, there's going to come a time when maybe the magic's not there. It is difficult to bet against LAFC based on the season they've had. It's difficult to bet against NYCFC in the East, but I can make an argument for both of them to lose this game, just as you can make an argument for any of these things to happen. And I guess that's the beauty of this format. And as I said a second ago, if you're RSL right now, you're like, no one's paying any attention to us. But if we win three games in a row, hell, if we draw three games in a row and get lucky in the, not lucky, get skilled in the shootouts,
yeah,
we're the MLS Cup Finals. If you're Toronto, you're like, we won this 2 years ago. And as much as up and down and mostly down at times it's been over the since we won MLS Cup, we're three wins away. If you're LA, we're three wins away from proving we're the best team of all time. And so on and so forth, right? Every team can make the argument that they legitimately can win MLS Cup at this point, and you have a hard time arguing against any of it because they're three wins away. That's not that many wins.
No, it's not. It's not a lot. It's just three wins, or you're one kick away, one goal conceded away from being eliminated, and that's the other beauty of this format. What do you think of the new MLS Cup playoff format after seeing it in action for a weekend? Let us know at Soccer Today SPN at 24th minute and at Kev Laramie for myself. You're watching us live on Twitter. Just click that follow button right below here the screen. Thank you very much. You're watching on YouTube right now. Just click that subscribe button. Thank you very much. And if you're listening to us anywhere else on podcast form, make sure you subscribe to our podcast and that you rate and review us. It makes a big difference in the rankings and the charts of podcasts. And sometimes we're in the top 100 in Canada. And when we are, it's because of your votes. And we thank you very much. On that note, we'll be back tomorrow for another edition of The World of Football with a Soccer Perspective. And if you'd like to hear more about Canadian soccer, patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast with exclusive interviews like the one with Peter Montopoli last week, Alfonso Davies, Jonathan David. Exactly. But as always, until tomorrow, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.